The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
In West Knoxville, again, it is a gorgeous day, folks. Come on down here and say hello. We got some piping hot Jets pizza. We've got Smokey's tickets to give away. We've got a huge show lined up this afternoon on The Drive. And, yeah, man, getting ready for the NFL draft. Bear, you ready for the draft?
Sure, Russ.
That didn't sound very convincing.
Well, I mean, I'm just not
You're not a details guy.
Well, no, I am, Russ. But, I mean, I just read you that tweet right before we went on air. I mean, what? I'm a Redskins fan, okay? This is from Grant Paulson. He's host at 106.7 The Fan in Washington.
Uh-huh.
Just talked to a Redskins source who told me Dan Snyder has, taken over the first round of the draft.
Oh, man. What could possibly go wrong?
You want to know what could possibly go
wrong? What's his team? I mean,
the last time that happened, the Redskins traded two future number ones and a number two to move up for Robert Griffin.
But it would have worked out if RG3 hadn't gotten hurt. That's what I say anyway. That's his team. What are you going to do? The billionaire, he owns the team. He wants to take over the draft.
That's why I am in search of a new NFL team.
Well,
could be the Saints. Might go back to being a Steelers fan.
Here's the thing, and I don't know who that guy is. I'm not going to dump on his sources or anything, but we've got ESPN on here in the showroom at Old Ben Franklin Motors, and they were doing like one of those boom, boom, boom things where they go through the, like, you know, Sal Palantonio's outside the Eagles, and Bonnie Bernstein is outside the Jets facility, and like, here's what all the teams are thinking. I don't believe any of it, man. I don't think anybody knows what they're talking about. I think it's all speculation. I mean, you've heard what the Titans, the big rumor about the Titans at 19 today. Have you heard what?
They're looking to take a quarterback.
Drew Lock.
Yeah. I understand that. You've got.
Just proves you have no faith in your quarterback, Russ.
Brandon, I don't recall asking you a single thing. Cut your mic off.
Not a damn thing. You've got a Ferrari. You know, you went out and you got your Ferrari, and then you found out that, well, you know, it was wrecked. That frame's bent.
I don't know that anybody.
So it might look good, but about once a year, you got to put that thing in the shop for about $8,000 to $10,000.
Well, it's the National Football League, man. You either got a quarterback or you don't.
And you guys do not.
Well, it's. You, I mean, don't. Who does? Who does?
New Orleans?
Seven or eight teams?
Yeah. I mean, that's why I could name them real quick.
The Indianapolis Colts.
NFL, I don't know if you noticed, kind of a difficult task, kind of hard. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with the Titans taking a look at Locke. I mean, we need edge rushers. We need offensive linemen as well. But, I mean, there's a lot of different things you could do. According to Vegas, Kyler Murray remains a heavy favorite to be the number one overall pick, but his odds have been fluctuating for the last 24 hours or so. Listed at minus 1,200, or he had been listed, excuse me, in minus 1,200 previous weeks at FanDuel's New Jersey Sportsbook, but down to minus 400 as of earlier this morning. Ohio State defensive end Nick Bosa is next in the odds, followed by Alabama defensive end Quentin Williams, as it looks like the first five picks or so after the, you know, if the Cardinals do indeed take Murray, looks like they're going to go defense heavy, and why not? I mean, the Bosa kid sounds like a pretty safe bet. Ed Oliver from Houston, still can't believe he went there. And then Kentucky's Josh Allen are also expected to go pretty early. And then there's the guy that your Redskins are rumored to be looking at early in the first round for quarterback, Ohio State's Dwayne Haskins. And I don't know if you saw, I tweeted about this earlier this morning, his dad giving a bizarre interview to.
Yeah, I was reading that. It's pretty wild. He's wacky.
Yeah, it is just really strange. It's like it was basically like the New Jersey equivalent of Jesse Smithy, you know, like a high school preps reporter. Like he's
well, I mean,
there.
That guy's covered. He started off, you know, covering high school prep stuff, but then he moved up to Rutgers, and now he's covered the Giants for 2 years.
Yeah, but he's right. You know, okay,
he's wired into the New Jersey prep.
Yeah, thing. And he's just trying to do a feel good piece on Dwayne Haskins, who played in the New Jersey area growing up, which I guess would make him a contemporary of a young Jarrett Garantano. But he's just trying to write a piece about, like, his buddies growing up. And, hey, isn't it cool that this New Jersey boy might be headed to the Giants to be their new quarterback? And he calls up the guy's dad, and the dad is just a booger, is the only way I can put it, man. Like, he's just, like, doesn't want to talk to him. He's telling, you know, it's just, like, what should be a completely non-confrontational situation turned out to be very confrontational. And this guy, like, because he was so flummoxed by the situation and just did not understand where the guy was coming from, he's just like, well, I'm just going to go ahead and release the transcript of the conversation. And because it's, I don't know, maybe it's not, some people might not think it's newsworthy. I thought it was interesting. It's the most interesting draft thing I've read today. So you can go find that. That's on my Twitter timeline from a little bit earlier in the day. Old Ben Franklin Motors, folks, come on out and see us. I want to thank Jets Pizza for providing us with some food out here. Had some pepperoni deep dish earlier. It was fantastic. Today is also, it is the first day that we've had Smokies tickets for giveaway on the drive. I know this is a big thing. Every year folks want to go out and see the Smokies. This is the first time I've been able to get my hands on. I got a fat stack of Smokies tickets here, Bear. And we should be able to hook up everybody. If you want to go to Smokies game, come on out and see us. Now, don't come out and ask me for 20 tickets or anything like that. But if you want 4 tickets to take the wife and kids, the fam, out
come
to the ballpark.
Here.
Yeah, you want 5 tickets to go with your buddies or something and enjoy a game at Smokies Park. Come on out and let me know how many you need. We'll take care of you here this afternoon. We are live in West Knoxville. Kingston Pike, 9711 Kingston Pike, right across from the Chop House in Franklin Square. We'll be here till 6 o'clock doing our thing. So come on out here. These are field-level seat vouchers. It gets you into any 2019 Smokies home game. So I'll give you the ticket, and then when you get up to the ballpark, you just take it up to the window there, and you get to pick out your seat and everything. It's a cool deal. So come on out here, get your Smokies tickets this afternoon. And while you're out here, take a look around the lot, man. They are in the process of setting up a new Mitsubishi, an entire new dealership, a new Mitsubishi dealership here at Old Ben Franklin. And they've got a couple of, you know, the last time we were here, they had a couple of the SUV crossovers out there, the Outlanders, I believe they're calling the Eclipses. And today we've got a Mirage out there, a couple of different vehicles. You want to come check them out. $4,500 back on all new Mitsubishis. That's right, $4,500 back on, and these are new cars too. They smell amazing on the inside. You got that new car smell. It's the best smell in the world, right? You come out here, check it out, $4,500 back on cars that are already very affordable, very nice. Come on out here, check those out here while you're out seeing us today, picking up some Smokies tickets here at Old Ben Franklin Motors as we get set to do the thing this afternoon on the drive. Trey Wallace is going to jump in here and kick around a few topics with us as we get ready to kind of jump into off-season college football conversation here for the next couple of months on the drive. That NCAA, well, I guess it's not the NCAA that's on trial. It's a couple of individuals, the financial planners who are on trial up there in, I believe, New Jersey, New York, somewhere. that trial is going on today. Of course, yesterday you had the explosive allegations from the guy who said, "Hey, man, I've been paying college football players at all kinds of schools: Alabama, Penn State, Pitt, Northwestern, Notre Dame, for 15 years. That guy was up there yesterday. Today, we've got a guy on stand right now as we speak who is dishing the dirt on Sean Miller and Arizona basketball and is saying some pretty incendiary things about Arizona's head basketball coach. Nicole Arbach from The Athletic is live tweeting this. We'll run through a couple of the things that she's saying. But suffice it to say, if you're Sean Miller over there at Arizona, I mean, I don't think they're playing the wiretaps just yet. I don't think there's, you know, this is hardcore proof. He can deny it, just say the guy's lying, which is what the – did you see Larry Johnson Sr., who was the assistant coach at Penn State, who was accused yesterday of arranging payments for one of the players? He just said, you're lying. It's fake news. You're making it all up. I've never done that. Didn't happen. Deny it till you die.
You better pray there's not a wiretap.
I mean, that's all you can, right?
Yeah.
That's all you can do.
It would give me a lot of pause if I had done that and had ever talked on a telephone just for fear of, oh, really? Well, isn't this your voice? And then push play.
Nope. you could do anything to doctor tape nowadays. Yeah, that could be anybody.
Yeah. You won't make it past the lab and sound lab at Quantico.
That's all you can do. Nobody in 2019 ever just says, you know what?
Hell with it.
You got me.
I did it.
Nobody's ever going to say that. Now, he might – I don't know if these guys will ever end up in a situation where they're in court. Now, that's a different thing. When you're in federal court and you got to swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. At that point, it's perjury. You could be going to prison. But they're just contacting him and said, this is what the guy said in court. What is your comment? He's, you know, at work with the Chiefs where he coaches now. And he's like, nope, didn't happen.
The problem with that is you're not dealing with the NCAA. You're dealing with, you know, the federal government, the federal justice system.
Yeah.
And you can say that all you want to until somebody walks up to you and hands you a subpoena.
Yeah. I wish they'd be able to. I wish so bad that Miller and Wade had to testify. I mean, I guess they would just plead the fifth.
Yeah, but at that point, you can't. If you're the university that employs them, I don't.
Yeah, you're getting fired anyway that point.
Yeah.
So, like,
I'll tell you who I'd love for them to subpoena.
I mean, what would you do? Go ahead and just tell the truth. You have three options. You can tell the truth, you get fired.
Right.
You can plead the fifth, you get fired, but you haven't spilled the beans. Or you can lie.
Nobody's lying.
And take the chance of going to prison if they can prove it, which if they have my voice on wiretap, I'm probably not. Listen, man, I love my whatever Will Wade's making, $2 million a year coaching basketball job, but I love not being in prison more.
Yeah, you only get so many years walking around. Why would you ever in a minute? That's what came down to for me. I would never risk wasting 2 years of my life. Years.
Let's be honest, too. Will Wade, probably not going to do well in prison.
Nah.
Probably not going to be.
Were him and I knew it went down and I'm pretty sure they got me on wiretap because I know they had got me on wiretaps now, I'd probably plead the fifth and then just not say a word until you forget the job. As soon as you get sworn in under oath, I feel like they're done. But you plead the fifth and then let them know, hey, if you want me to testify on this, you're going to have to give me immunity and I'll spill my guts. I'd ensure that I wasn't going to any way go to jail but then I'd spill it. Sure. Give me immunity.
Just go ahead and let it fly.
I mean, that's what ends up happening in a lot of these high profile trials. And it's one of the things that, you know, Congress can do to you.
Yeah. All right. We got to take a real quick timeout right here. We'll come right back. Trey Wallace is going to jump in here. We'll talk to him about off-season football. Volunteers looking for a few more volunteers, a couple of transfers they're hoping to get eligible. There's an interesting side note to that story that came out yesterday. We'll talk about it with T-Dubs coming up next right here on The Drive live this afternoon. Old Ben Franklin Motors, stay with us. We're back with more right after this.
And the best there ever will be. This is The Drive.
All right, back here on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville live this afternoon. Old Ben Franklin Motors, where the show originates. Let's get Trey Wallace from It's Optional, heard weekdays from 1 to 3 right here on Fan Run Radio, in here with us. Trey, I feel like we just heard you here on Fan Run.
Yeah, man, it hasn't been a while, so it's all good. I appreciate Bear's intro as usual. That really makes my day, Bear. I hope you do understand that.
That was Russ.
Trey, before we get into some off-season football topics, just your thoughts on what's going down at Georgia. This is kind of an under-the-radar type story that just came out, and it seems like basically they had one of their on-campus recruiting directors was fired. And then one of their assistant recruiting directors has been suspended. The AD is not commenting on specifics, but it certainly sounds like there was some sort of hanky-panky going on down there. Your take on what has been an eventful 24 hours for Kirby Smart in Athens?
Well, it's coming off Georgia's D-Day weekend, which is their spring game. They brought in all the recruits. Recruiting coordinator.
Hey Brandon, yeah. can we try and reconnect with Trey? That's if that sounds half as bad back in the studio as it does down here, that's not gonna fly. Let's try and get reconnected with Trey. Did you hear about this, Bear?
The Georgia?
Yeah. That
sounds more like some workplace, like some personal life spilled over into the workplace kind of drama.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. But it also sounded like, this recruiting violations. They asked the AD point blank, is like, were there any NCAA violations? And he was like, I want no comment.
Well, it tells you there were.
I mean.
Somebody did something.
I can, maybe it is a little bit of reckless speculation and hopeful speculation after Georgia's been tearing it up in recruiting for the past 2 or 3 years. But, I mean, hey, if you're – If you're Tennessee, other schools in, you take what you can get as far as trying to bring down your rivals. All right, let's try Trey again. Trey, are you with us?
Hey, buddy. Hope you guys can hear me better.
Much better. You sound like $1 million, Trey.
Well, I'll drop it. So yeah, I was getting back to it. It was actually the recruiting program director at Georgia, Kelsey King. Was the one that was fired, and they had, I guess it was on-campus recruiting assistant that was suspended for 30 days. I reached out to a buddy of mine who's involved in the Pac-12, who works for a school in the Pac-12 in the recruiting office, and I straight up asked him. I said, look, coming off a weekend like this, what is the process here where you fire your recruiting program director at your school? And he goes, well, possibly two things here. Something went down over the weekend. Coaches found out about it Sunday. They investigated it Monday, and they fired the person on Tuesday. And that kind of seems like a timeline. And I asked him, I said, okay, well, what are circumstances where somebody could be fired that quick? And he goes, two things. It could be some kind of insubordination, or it could be an NCAA violation was committed. So maybe something was going on between the two people. I have no idea. But he kind of threw out that quick to fire somebody like that. Usually it doesn't turn out too well.
No, that's what Bear said. I didn't even think about that. I mean, maybe that's some sort of situation between the two parties.
Yeah, that's what jumped out at me. That's what I thought.
Yeah, but one doesn't get suspended for 30 days, though. One doesn't get suspended for 30 days compared to the other one. I mean, they both had recruiting kind of coordinator titles, I guess you could say.
Unless one of them went completely nutty cakes and the other one just, broke the rules about fraternization rules.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a good point.
Is the one that's more senior, and again, totally reckless speculation here, but if we're talking about some sort of workplace relationship, which is a no-no, is the person who is the overseer, the boss in the situation, they get fired immediately for, it's worse judgment on their part. I don't know how those situations work out.
I mean, that's how it works.
She was hired in May of 2018. So she's been on the job for just about a year.
Yeah.
And she was let go. And look, a lot of the speculation reigns is because the athletic director comes out and says, hey, man, I'm not commenting on personnel matters. But then the kicker was when they asked him, Dog Nation asked him, and Chip Towers, asked him, hey, man, look, is there an NCAA or an SEC rule violation tied to this? He said, no comment. So he could have easily put that part to rest.
Yeah. Just say no.
And he didn't.
All right, Trey, spring football ends.
Yeah.
We enter the offseason for Jeremy Pruitt heading into year two. Did Pruitt get everything he wanted out of spring practice, in your opinion?
He would have liked to have a couple more of his early, you know, his signees be there and go through the spring, in my opinion. And that's with every coach, and that's understandable. You had some folks that were dinged up a good amount. You had somebody like J.J. Peterson, who, let's be straight and honest, he really didn't get to go through spring. I mean, he was out there for a couple practices, is what it is, but didn't really get to go through spring with a shoulder injury. You had a couple players go down. You had some players in non-contact that I think Jeremy, and after talking with some folks, would have liked to use more, especially when it comes to live game situations. I think, you know, honestly, the wide receiver position is going to be a step up for Tennessee this year with Callaway on one side, Jennings on the other. You could throw Palmer. You can even throw, you know, Keaton once he gets up there, or Jordan Murphy in the slot. There's lots of different avenues for them. I think he is happy with the defensive line. I think the defensive line has gotten better. Now, the kicker is, and you guys were talking about this, Aubrey Solomon. That's going to be big. If Tennessee is going to make a statement and get better when it comes to putting pressure on the quarterback next year, something that they've been lacking the last few years, especially since Barnett left, they're going to need a player like Aubrey Solomon, somebody to be able to fill the gaps along with Emmett Gooden along that line of scrimmage. And if they don't get him, and I find the NCAA to be very wary right now after the report came out yesterday about the Coastal Carolina player, then that could be a hit. But everything that I've been told on campus from folks is that they think that they're going to get Aubrey and D'Angelo Gibbs cleared by the NCAA through their hardship waivers. I will say this. I know it was mentioned in the report about the other player, Tom Mars, the attorney. I was told the reason why it's kind of taken so long with these Tennessee players, they did not go out and hire an attorney, that this went through the university and through a regular appeals process through the NCAA, whereas you saw Tom Mars being brought on by folks like Justin Fields, Tate Martell, Shea Patterson, Van Jefferson. Those things got cleared up a little quicker because you brought counsel involved and they didn't want to mess with the NCAA.
Yeah, but I saw also today, though, they turned down a kid from Virginia Tech whose mother...
I get what you're saying. But what I was getting at, Bear, is like he didn't have an attorney. He went through the appeals process, and now he is saying he wants to go out and hire, you know, pretty much what he said in his statement was, I didn't go out and hire this attorney to go complain to the NCAA and make up stuff when it was really just playing time. So he didn't go through an attorney yet, was what his statement read.
The Virginia Tech kid is, like, he's already said he's going to appeal, and I can't imagine after the public outrage and uproar that we're already seeing because of this thing that the NCAA, I mean, hey, you know, logic doesn't always prevail when you're talking about the NCAA. They've been shown to be cold-hearted in the past, but I would imagine that he stands a pretty good chance. The other thing in reading that story is the type of appeal. He was going for a medical hardship specifically, right, in that appeal, which Tate Martell and Justin Fields were not. They were going for, I'm not sure what it's called, it was a different type of appeal. So
we didn't get enough playing time hardship.
They threw a bunch of racial slurs at us.
Which I mean, is despicable, but right. I would say that the kid with the mom who had a brain tumor removed probably, in my opinion, has a little bit better case. Yeah. I don't know. That's just my opinion. So we'll see.
Well,
I don't
speaking
know.
Speaking of medical hardship waivers, we had talked about this before. Valus Jones Jr., I brought him up a couple times.
Yeah.
The wide receiver from USC. That's looking for a new home. He visited Auburn this past weekend. He was in town for Tennessee spring game. He is also going through the NCAA appeals process and using a hardship waiver as his reasoning for wanting to transfer. It's a family situation down in Mobile, Alabama. So I have seen that before. It's currently going on. He thinks he's going to get cleared. And I think at the end of the day, that comes down to Auburn or Tennessee, and he'll have 2 years of playing time. And I think he could come in and contribute immediately with Tennessee, especially in the kick returning and punt returning game.
Trey Wallace with us here this afternoon on The Drive. Trey, last thing for you. What's the most important thing now that we're in summer workouts? I mean, there's a lot going on from Craig Fitzgerald's off-season workouts. You already mentioned Solomon and Gibbs. I mean, that might be the most important thing. Wanye Morris trying to get him ready to start as a true freshman at left tackle. Anything else I'm missing here as we go into full off-season mode for the Vols?
You know, I think a couple things. I think the offensive line, they've got to come together. I think in a sense of trying to figure out how they're going to run the two deep. The off-season workouts are going to be key for them, working together. You know, the seven-on-sevens that Garantano, Trout, Maurer will be a part of, even with their offensive line, trying to build up those relationships, ma'am, because, you know, I think it's another thing, too, that when Darnell Wright gets in, you know, you're going to need these leaders of the team and even folks like Brandon Kennedy to take him underneath their wing and try to catch him up on everything he missed during the spring. Because, look, if Tennessee's going to be successful and Darnell Wright is as good as they're talking about when he gets on campus, they're going to need, you know, him, okay, 20 pounds on him, and let's figure out this offense and let's roll into fall camp. Because I think there's going to be a circumstance in talking to a few folks where Tennessee could potentially have those two freshmen playing on the offensive line, and you throw in a Brandon Kennedy in there. You could throw in a Calvert or Johnson. You know, Tennessee's got to get the offensive line set up, and I know it's something we've been talking about for the last few years now, but they actually have an opportunity this year, Russ and Bear, with the running backs that they have, with the power that they have at wide receiver. Dominic Wood Anderson's got to get better. But they actually have pieces of the puzzle on offense to be able to actually do something this year. Because I think the strongest position on Tennessee's team, in my eyes, I think about probably two spots, wide receiver and then that secondary for Tennessee. They're going to be loaded in the back. I think they have the talent. They definitely have the experience. So if they can continue to build on those and figure out how you're going to go about with the linebacker spot, and especially get Crouch ready to go for fall camp, Tennessee has an opportunity to go out and do some things that they couldn't do last year. And talking to one person, one position coach, you know, a while back, I said, what is the outlook for next year? What do you think this thing could turn out to be in? And he told me point blank, I think we could be 3 wins better than they were last year. So that's got to be the positive to build on. Tennessee's got a long summer ahead of them, but we'll see. I think they can get some stuff done, and now it's up to Craig Fitzgerald, get these guys in shape, continue on, and we'll see what happens in 2.5 months when fall camp comes around.
Trey, thanks for jumping on, my man. Appreciate your time. We will be listening for you tomorrow on It's Optional 1-3 right here on Fan Run Radio.
I appreciate it, guys. We'll have draft coverage getting you ready for tomorrow. If everybody has a chance, I urge you to go back and listen to our interview with Tennessee head baseball coach Tony Vitello. That was a great interview. He's a very down-to-earth guy. We had a lot of fun, and I thought he gave some great insight to Tennessee potentially hosting an NCAA regional in baseball. So a lot of stuff going on campus and everywhere else, and it's always a privilege to join you guys. Hope you have a great afternoon.
Thanks, Trey. Appreciate it, my man.
Thanks, guys. Be good.
Go check out Trey with Tony Vitello earlier today on the Fan Run podcasts. Bear, he says an assistant coach told him that he thinks they could be 3 wins better this year. I don't know about you. I'd take 8-4 right now. 8-4 would be fantastic. Based on where we're coming from.
Yeah.
Taking 8-4?
Yes, in his second year after Butch Jones. After the Butch Jones experience, hell yeah, I would.
8-4 would be a fantastic step in the right direction for Jeremy Pruitt.
Until you start thinking about who are the 4 you lose to.
Well, I would just go ahead. You know, it would be Florida, Georgia, Alabama.
I'm not conceding the Georgia game.
It would be Florida, Georgia, Alabama.
No.
And then.
I'll agree with the Florida, Alabama.
You know, Mississippi State, BYU, South Carolina, probably one of the Missouri on the road.
I mean, Missouri is the one. We've only beat them twice since they've been in the league.
Yep. It's a tough road trip.
I mean, just how disheartening is that?
Well, I mean, they've had better teams. And they have been world beaters, but we've been so down. They've had better teams than us. So, like, it's not surprising. I mean, they were head and shoulders better than us last year. We were non-competitive in that game.
No.
Even before our quarterback got clotheslined in the back of the head, clobbered and concussed into next week, we were non-competitive with them.
So, with the new targeting rules, would that have made any difference last year with that kid? I'd forgotten all about that.
You know, I don't know if the rule changed.
Give the Malachi crunch to Garantano.
I don't know that they can, because that one wasn't called targeting, right?
They didn't call anything.
So I don't know that they can go back and...
They called that a legal football play.
Well, I don't know that they can go back on a play that wasn't called. As I understand it, they can now go back and review if it was called, and that they have to go back and review it. If targeting is called now, you have to go back and get it right in the booth. That was my...
I just feel like, man, when it's egregious, as egregious as that one was...
You go look at it?
Heck yeah.
I mean...
What that guy did last year to Garantano has no... And you know me. I'm old school. I think that the players now are a little bit soft in some ways, but that...
What would your position be if that's Daryl Taylor going into the back of Jake Fromm next year in Athens?
What, and just like Tomahawk?
Yeah, and I know the game's in Knoxville, but whatever. Or Felipe Franks next year in the Swamp. Clean football play?
Yeah, probably. Play on? I don't think Darrell would do that.
At least you're consistent in your inconsistency. That's why we love you, Bear. Stay with us. Quick timeout. It is the Drive Fan Run Radio. Back with more after this.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
This is The Drive.
Fox Sports Knoxville. The Drive continues live this afternoon at Old Ben Franklin Motors. Yeah, it was a wild sports night last night. I know I said that the Preds lose. I wasn't going to watch any hockey.
You watched some hockey.
Watched a lot of hockey, man. So the Bruins win. They beat the Toronto Maple Leafs. There were two Game 7s last night. The Game 7 in the NHL playoffs are insane. I mean, it's do or die. And then the late one... I ended up falling asleep, but the late one out west was crazy because it's Game 7, and then it goes to overtime. So and San Jose scored the winning goal with like 2 minutes left in overtime. So you're playing for 18 minutes just on the edge of your seat. San Jose, they fall behind 3-0. I think it was 3-0 Las Vegas going into the third period, as I understand it.
Right.
San Jose scores 3 goals in like 4 minutes to tie it. Vegas scores again. And then San Jose scores, go to overtime, and San Jose scores with about a minute and a half left in OT.
Kind of seemed there was some kind of kerfuffle. Maybe an incident
in the
involving a penalty.
Yeah, it was like a 5-minute penalty, and I think it occurred when it was 3-0 still, and that kind of sparked the comeback, maybe.
Right.
You know, a five minute penalty. You know, generally you get into hockey, there's less fighting and stuff in the playoffs because teams want to win. You know, and they don't want to risk an otherwise avoidable penalty, which oftentimes leads to a goal on a power play situation. But the dude from Vegas was pissed, man. He had a pretty good profanity-laced tirade in front of the press afterwards.
He did. Mm-hmm. We can't play it on the air.
I might be able to play it because the one I listened to it on the ESPN app, and it was beeped out.
Beeped out.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And then the basket. I mean, whew. Did you see Damian Lillard's shot last night?
No.
You haven't seen this yet?
No, I was watching Black Sails last night.
Blazers, Thunder, Game 7 in, I think it was Game 7. Brandon, correct me if I'm wrong here. In Portland, tied game. Blazers have the ball, tied at 115. Clock's ticking down. Damian Lillard has the ball out near midcourt.
Just launches one?
I mean, it was a mirror image of Chris Lofton over Kevin Durant.
As
the buzzer expires, Paul George is on him.
You just drop it.
Lillard
right in his
pulls
face.
Up from 40 feet, just drains it.
Just stroked
incredible,
it.
Incredible shot. I mean,
wasn't throwing it. That it was, he took a shot.
I mean, it was a prayer, granted, and it was funny because after the game, you've got. After the game in the press conference, the Thunder's Westbrook and Paul George are up there, and Paul George says, it was a bad shot. I don't care what anybody says, it was a bad shot. Now, what he means is, like, it was a lucky shot. It's not – and technically, he's right. That's probably not what
the, shot,
the Trailblazers
yeah.
drew up
yeah,
is their point
exactly.
guard heaving one with Paul George on him from out near midcourt. But he's getting clowned because – it was a great shot, you know, that the guy Lillard
buried
made. Just an insane way to end the series. Absolutely insane. So we're moving in, I think they're playing the Nuggets or the Spurs.
Now is about the time I start paying attention to the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, it's starting to pare it down a little bit. And, you know, the 76ers won their series, so you get to see – Tobias Harris play more going forward if you're looking for a Tennessee tie. So that's interesting. But some wild stuff last night in the NBA and the NHL playoffs is, good stuff. Good stuff last night.
In full swing.
Yep. Open up the phone lines here, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Bill on Twitter says, regarding the Georgia recruiting office situation. The odd thing about the UGA situation is, as the saying goes, poop, I'm paraphrasing, usually runs downhill, but this time it's run uphill, given that the director has been fired and an underling was just suspended. That alone raises some red flags.
I think the biggest thing they did, I guarantee it. I mean, it's just wild speculation, but to me, the most logical thing hearing all that is somebody broke the rule, the policies against
interoffice dating.
Yeah, interoffice fraternization.
Well,
they're fraternizing.
If this had happened here in Knoxville and one of our recruiting directors and one of our and his assistant like fired and suspended, we would be on the edge of our seats right now. What, you know?
No, we would have already found out what was going on. Nobody keeps a secret like that over there.
That's
true.
That's true. Holler at my one of my UGA sources and see if I can get to the bottom of this. But you've got that going on at Georgia. The Florida guy getting arrested and charged with felony stalking yesterday. I mean, it's you know, if you're Jeremy Pruitt, you're sitting back, and not that you take great joy in the misery of your rivals, but you take great joy in the misery of your rivals.
Exactly.
You kick
love a good. What was it Spurrier used to say?
Just watch your enemies self-destruct.
About Georgia every summer?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's suspension season. Sun Tzu, yeah. The Art of War, you know, let your enemies divide themselves.
Georgia's always been really good at it. It's good to see they're still not missing a beat down there on stupidness.
In touch with their roots.
Yeah, just brain dead stuff.
Quick break. You're listening to The Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville. Again, 865-546-8200. We get some phone calls going. Back with more right after this.
Listen up, fool. The Drive is back.
Let's get down, David. We'll be right back.
Fox Sports Knoxville. Back here on The Drive, Russell and Bear coming to you live from Old Ben Franklin Motors. Come and say hello. We'd love to see you. We had some Smokies tickets to give away here this afternoon. I'm going to find this Nicole Arbach thread about the trial up there.
The latest.
Read you some of these tweets here this afternoon, figure out what's going on. Apparently, the prosecution, I'm not sure if the prosecution defense, I have no idea. Like, this whole thing is so convoluted. It's hard to determine what the actual,
somebody opened the door and the defense can, they opened the door to it by bringing up Sean Miller. They referenced something about Sean Miller.
Apparently, they're trying to revisit the situation to try and get Sean Miller to testify in light of things that were said today. This is from Nicole Arbach, who's been live tweeting some of the events in federal court today, at Nicole Arbach on Twitter if you want to follow. She writes, in federal court today, video showed Christian Dawkins saying at FBI recorded meeting that Sean Miller told him, quote, "I'm taking care of everything myself related to payments made to DeAndre Ayton during his recruitment." Christian Dawkins said Sean Miller told him, "Ayton isn't going to be on campus, is going to be on campus June 10th. I want to bring you in. I'll turn everything over to you." Government witness Marty Blazer testified that he understood that to mean Sean Miller had been taking care of payments for DeAndre Ayton and his family. Christian Dawkins, in same FBI recorded video, saying, quote, "Sean Miller has to know everything that's going on. I can call Sean and have a conversation. Like, this is what's going on. He'll talk on the phone about stuff he shouldn't talk on the phone about." Dawkins also is recorded saying it, quote, "makes sense to pay Book Richardson $4,000 per month because they'll have top 10 picks every year at Arizona." And Book Richardson is one of the guys who's already pled guilty and sentenced and going to prison for a little bit.
That stuff's pretty wild, man.
Screenshots of texts labeled, quote, "these are my guys" by Christian Dawkins doesn't mean they made contact at all, but apparently this was entered into evidence today.
Who were his guys?
Sean Miller, Book Richardson, Rick Pitino, Kenny Johnson, and Jordan Fair, which I guess – I think that's all Louisville guys.
Yeah.
Tom Izzo, Dwayne Stevens, and Dane Fife.
Tom Izzo, you say?
Will Wade and Greg Ayer.
That's not a shocker.
Marvin Menzies.
Who's that? Where is he at?
I don't know. And Kevin Keats from NC State.
They didn't say anything about Krzyzewski in that one?
No. Oh, well, here's some more names on those screenshots. And again, these are just his contacts, man. We don't know what they're talking. This is just who this Dawkins guy is talking to. Preston Murphy, Jamal Walker, Chris Caputo, Dennis Felton, former Georgia head coach.
Felton, where is he at now?
You know what? I want to say Dennis Felton used to be on Rick Barnes' staff. I want to say he's a Barnes guy. Not sure where he's at right now. Mike Morrell, Sadie Washington, and Tony Bland.
Sadie Washington and Tony Bland.
Adam Zagoria of the New York Times is reporting that defensive attorney Steve Haney says he'll ask Judge Ramos on Thursday morning to reconsider asking Sean Miller to testify and will respect the decision, end quote. So they're going to go back there. I mean, would seem relevant if, you know, there's some pretty wild allegations that were thrown out. I don't know how relevant they are to the government's case, but they're certainly relevant to what Christian Dawkins said on video,
right,
that was played today in this trial.
I don't see how they're going to get around. I mean, Sean Miller and Will Wade, I understand that they've got Bruce Pearl's attorney, but I don't understand how they're hoping to keep all that stuff out of the not in the public record, be called to testify.
Yeah.
Under
oath. How about this from Matt Norlander of CBS Sports? All these writers are covering the trial. They're in the room. Most random thing today was Dawkins on wiretap talking up his connections to Tom Izzo in Michigan State, talking about how Izzo, quote, has been in my bleeping house crying in bleep before when my dad didn't give him Draymond.
When his dad didn't give him Draymond.
Izzo in the house crying. Now, Draymond Green did go to Michigan State, as I recall. He initially picked Kentucky, according to Nicole Arbach. You know that? Draymond Green at Kentucky?
Oh, God. He'd have fit right in up there.
All right, stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up. Brandon Orick in with your top four at four next.